Welcome to episode number 29 of our podcast, Up on Foil, today with a super special guest, Yvon Labarthe. Thank you very much, Yvon, for coming on the show. He's a Swiss extreme sports athlete, and he used to do a lot of things on the street, like street luge, longboarding. It looks super crazy and dangerous, and now he's full into pump foiling. He's downwinding for hours on Lake Geneva and other lakes. Thank you very much, Yvon, for coming on the show. Is there anything you want to add right away?
No, thank you for having me in the show. Like I'm thrilled to be here.
It is super cool because you're an idol, not just of me, but also of God and many others. First, I want to congratulate you because your Insta handle, Yvon Vit, makes me chuckle every time. So cool.
Thank you.
Can you explain that?
Explain what? The Yvon Vit?
Yes. Because maybe there's someone.
It's in French. Yvon Vince means Yvon fast, and you can make a lot of joke word with that, like Yvon vite descendre la vallée, Yvon vite aller faire du foil. It works in French, but it's not working really well in English.
In other languages.
But I found it super funny, and I kept it. I have it this name from 20 years, and it's just. Kept it.
That is
essentially very nice. The translation in English is we go fast on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So you have two YouTube channels. You have your Yvon Vit Axis, and then you have a second one. Is the second one for your, I want to say, daytime job?
So I have actually three YouTube channels.
Thank you.
I have had my first YouTube channel with. Mostly everything, the first one I made, for skateboarding, for my job, for everything. And after I separated things, I really dedicated one to the foil because I think it's really something I like and something I want to show. And I want to show only that thing on the channel. I have the professional one with all the jobs I do. And the main one, the first one I made at the beginning, now is not really up to date. I use only the professional one for my job or the foil one.
For all the listeners who just know you from foiling, can you maybe tell the audience what you do outside of foiling?
Oh, so I'm a video maker and I make video, a lot of different things. I film construction sites, I film for architects, sometimes for Geneva tourism, sometimes video, music, a lot of stuff. If somebody needs me, I'm here.
That's why your videos are always very high quality, which is amazing.
A couple of minutes ago, Matt said your day job, but it's probably more your night job because you're everyday foiling, right?
I edit a lot of video in the night.
Do you track how many days you're on the water each year?
I don't track, but I know it's minimum 4 days per week and maximum 7 days per week. So... 300 days probably per year.
Wow.
300 days
cool.
For sure.
And how many hours do you spend on water on average every session you go?
It's between 2 and 6 hours minimum, 2 hours and 6 hours max.
That's how you got so good. Time on the water is so important. But there are no videos of you really struggling.
I don't struggle that much anymore. I remember last year I had a session with my Art Pro 1201 and I don't know why it was not super choppy water. It was just some little waves and I missed 45 starts. I was able to do only 3 starts in 2 hours. I don't know why, what happened. So that kind of day still can happen, I think. The beauty of this sport. You never know what can happen.
There was one video where you were wake thieving behind a boat and you fell down. And actually, it showed me that you're only human as well, that sometimes you fall. And I thought that was super nice for the audience to see that sometimes you fall as well. But you just started posting videos when you were good already. How did you get into pump foiling? What was the start like for you? Were you adapting pretty quickly, or was it also for you these 200-300 starts until you really got going?
My beginning was really struggling a lot. When I saw the first video of pump foiling, I knew I wanted to do that. So I borrowed a foil from Ketos, a friend from Sebastian Sogi, and he was a 1300 centimeter square, so which is not a big foil. I get to a dock, a floating dock, very low, the worst place to start, and I try to jump on it on like for an hour. And it's a place like they run foil actually at that place at the moment, and they open at noon. I was there at 11. They open at noon, and the guy saw me and say, "I can I can rent you a foil. Like it will work better." I say, "Okay, like, give me the foil," and I spend 4 hours trying to jump on his foil, and it was much better. I could pump maybe 5-10 times the first day, and so I was renting for a month there. And after I tried to decide to buy my my own equipment, and I watch on YouTube what is the best, blah, blah, blah. I found the Wake Thief video with where it tests the foils, and I bought an Axis, the 1150. And because after 1 month, they were closing. Like I started in October, and in November, they were closing the renting place. So I bought my own equipment, and I started with a very big board, a 30 liter board. Surfboard, and it was way too heavy, but I was managing to pump a little bit. I made my launcher because my board was so heavy. It was super cool to run and jump on my board. But when I get used to that, I had to learn to duck start with my board, and it was struggling again. So that's why it took me 1 year to pump 1 minute.
Right, so mostly. You're a human being as well. We want to know, what was that first foil that you rented, if you remember the model?
Yeah, it was an Indiana, the 1100P.
Yeah.
And it was the huge one. And it's good because you can directly feel something, which didn't feel anything with the other foil from Ketos because it was way, way too small.
Yeah. And did you have a background into, besides skating? I remember that when we had that interview, a year ago, I think. You said that you had experience with kite foiling. Am I right?
Yes, you're right. Like I started kite foiling in 1998. I kite foiled for 5-6 years. I stopped it, and I start again 2015 for, I don't know, 1-2 year without foil. And after I foil 3 years, and after that, I start pump foiling, and I stop completely kite foiling. I was really fed up to wait for the wind, struggled with the lines on the kite, and yeah. Like now, it's so much better. Like I go to the lake, I know I can do something. Don't wait for the wind, for the waves, it will work anyway.
Would it be an option for you to bring a Parawing with you, like in a back pocket?
I tried already the Parawing with my in my Duckstart board, and it was only 12 knots, so it was not enough wind to understand if it's good or not. But for me, it will be maybe an option to start Parawinging with a big board, but not paddling for sure, because it's too much struggling to learn. Paddling.
Yeah, I saw the video you posted when you went downwinding with some guys on the sup, and you were what you had lunch already when they arrived, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was quite a fun day. Yeah,
yeah. We're probably gonna reference a few of your videos throughout the episode. So if people are watching, you can maybe see that in B-roll. Just another question about your videos. One of the last ones probably that you posted, the slow motion one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you do a video like that, how long do you plan that for? Or is it just like, ooh, I could do this, and then you do it? Or do you plan your videos?
No, it was not planned at all. I just had my GoPro with me, and the lake was super flat and mirrory and really clear water, and I say, okay, I just put the GoPro there, I make one run, I do one trick, one thing. And I think I get very lucky in that session to get all of that good footage in 1 hour, actually. And after I did it, I watch it because I just record, I press, I do my trick, and I see after when I go home if it's good. And I had so much good touch, I say, okay, I can make a video with that. But the plan was to do maybe 2 or 3 days with that. And, yeah, it came in just 1 hour. I had enough shots to make one video. So I said, okay, well, I will post it and see what happened.
And do you always go with a camera in your sessions, or sometimes you just say, I just want to enjoy it?
Like most of the time now, I just enjoy it. I had always have a camera with me if I'm motivated, but now I try to enjoy my session. And if I see something I can do different, or if something different happened, I always have a camera with me just in case. A GoPro at least to film what I do. Yeah.
You're a pro at this, really. Is there anything, like, if someone listening who went into pump foiling or foiling in general, is there any tips you can give on how to record? Any settings maybe, or angles that work better or less good?
The main thing is the longer the pole is, the better it is, but the harder it is to ride. So you have to be good at riding and good at like holding your pole like steady. Is the main thing. And if you have a drone, like I will post a video like this week probably. I made an automatic follow, blah blah blah, and it's not working. It's almost never working. So
yeah, on it the worked water
a little
especially.
Bit. Yeah, but yeah, if you have a friend, it's the best way to film you. Yeah,
we had, or I met Benji last 2 weeks ago. Benjamin Friant, and he wore a white kind of suit overall over his regular wetsuit so the drone could see him better.
It worked, but it looked crazy.
Yeah, when I put my my Axis Lycra white and red, it's my drone see me better, but still sometimes it loses me. If I turn too tight, it loses me.
And does it stop or go back or follow
it
you into the water?
It stops and stays still until I do something, or until there is no more battery and it goes back to the starting point.
Right, yeah, I guess it's not enjoyable to just ride.
At least it's not falling in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be fun.
Last time, I used it, you will see in the video, like I just followed the boat in Zurich and I fell. So it's a falling video, so you will see. And the drone like came very close to me, stop, and I said, okay, so I cannot catch it because if I try to catch it, it will go up. So I just swim back, blah, blah, blah. It took me 15 minutes and I came back. And when I came back, it was arriving at the same time as me. So it was a good timing.
All right. So you have to do that setting then, that if it loses you, that it goes back.
If it loses you, it stay until it find you. So if it don't find you when there is no more battery, the next input
it shouldn't land when home. It's low on battery. That's important.
Yeah, it should land. Yeah.
Anyways, I was talking about Benjamin, about Benji, and you had the video, or he had the video. No, you had the video when you went when you tried that. Scooter.
The scooter, yeah.
How much did it took you to try that scooter? Was that, okay, it's fun, I'm going to try it? Or you think, well, that looks kind of weird, but I'm going to do it anyway. How was that for you?
Yeah, I just look weird and I just tried jump on it. And after 10 tries, I was able to pump it. The pumping technique is very different. So it's kind of another sport. I will not do that sport, but I think for people who are scared to fall on their foil, you will never fall on the foil because you have the handle, so you fall with your foil. So for people who are scared, I think it's a good way to start. Or if you are a scooter guy, you can scooter on the water, so it's cool. But I don't think pump foilers will switch to scooter, or me, I will not switch to scooter. I like to have my hands free.
For the camera.
For the camera.
Yeah. You have this transparent pole for your GoPro. Did you build that yourself, or is that something?
No, it's a GoPro. It's an old GoPro pole they made at that time, and it's a floating pole. That's the good thing. If you lose your camera, the pole floats.
Now, by the way, I remember that you lost your camera. Did you find it?
No, I did not find my camera in the port of Nyon. I will wait for the water gets a bit hotter, because last time I borrowed like bottles to go in the water, but after 7 or 8 minutes, I was too cold. So I will wait for the water to go again and maybe make a really sequential search, something like that.
What happened?
Let's see. I had I used a new pole, actually, a longer one. But at the end, you have to tight the GoPro, like making turns. And I was pumping on the GoPro, make 1, 2, 3 turns and fall in the water. Shit happens.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I had the same experience.
Yeah. Luckily, I found it though. Anyways, I wanted to ask you, because we always see that you are always rigged. You have probably an impact vest below your Lycra and probably you have pockets. So what do you bring when you're going for these longer downwinds besides your camera gear, maybe your GoPro and your phone, of course?
I bring my little engine, like the turbine when I'm in France. And if I fall, I bring out the bag and I just I can swim faster with that. But it's the only thing I bring with me. Like I bring just 2 keys, because if the train is full, I just remove the foil from the mast to be in the train, because sometimes the train is very packed.
You detach the for sure. 100%. Yeah.
And I don't need to bring any food or drink, because when you go out of the water, there is always something to buy. So I have my phone all the time. So the phone is very important, because if I'm really in the shit, I can call for help. But except that.
Did it ever happen?
Just the phone.
Did it ever happen that you had to... Did it ever...
One time I was wakesailing in Geneva, and it was a lot of wake boats in every way. So I fell like in the middle, and I knew I had minimum 25 minutes of swimming. And so I called the police. I'm in the middle. There's a lot of wake boats, and I'm not sure they're seeing me. So I will have 25 minutes of swimming, and they send some sauvetage from Geneva. And they actually pass 3 times at 50 meters around me without seeing me.
Oh, wow.
And they called me back. They're like, where are you? They said, yeah, more on the left, more on the left, more on the right. And they found me.
Right. When they got you, did they drive you back, or were you able to start from their boat and wake thief with their boat back?
No, they bring me back, but I will... They did what I asked them, actually. I asked them just to bring me back to the shore.
All right,
but you can ask whatever you like. Like it's a free. It's free. You call and you tell them where you are, and usually they bring you where they can.
Were they upset?
No. If it's in the summer, there's a lot of things happening at the same time. Yeah, but during the winter, sometimes the safety boats
they're just spinning around
the lake and because they have nothing to do. And when I see them, I just pump to them and they make me a wave. And sometimes I stop on their boat, we talk, and after I go, and
so they know you already.
Yeah, they know me. Everybody on the lake know me. Every police guy know me on the lake.
I have a question, because Guy was talking about what you wear and the Lycra that you have. Is that a regular Lycra, or is that like an anti-cut shirt?
No, it's a regular Lycra, but when I do downwind, I always use the impact vest, so I will not cut myself, I think.
All right.
I will always have a suit if I do a downwinding for sure, even if it's summer, like a 3-2 or something, because I float better in the suit also, so even with the impact vest.
Makes sense. And then you always have with you some music device, is that correct?
Yeah, this one actually now, it's way lighter than the one I had before. I'm not taking all the time now. Sometimes I like to be just silent. Yeah. For pumping, actually, I use music, but for downwinding, I like to listen to the sound of of the waves and everything. Yeah.
What do you listen to? What is Ivan's music when pumping?
Oh, I can send you my playlist. I can share it on Spotify. You can listen to it.
It's going to be in the description of the video or the podcast.
Maybe it helps.
Yeah. Maybe it helps. Yeah, sometimes it helps.
Even if it's you a see very, you wobbling there is around. Very diff-
Sorry, there is very ahead. Different music. Sorry. There is very different music on the list, yeah.
All right. Looking forward to that. If you see me wobbling around, I'm not drunk or anything. I'm just standing on a balance board. That's what I usually do, so.
Yeah, sure.
That's because of that.
And now I guess that's after 20 minutes, we get to the core point of the episode, what everybody's waiting for. Are these fireballs really magic as you say they are?
These fireballs are really magic, yes, I think so. It's really, really something different. Like one guy, I will send you maybe a message. One guy like bought it and sent me a message like 2 minutes long, and he said it's a sorcery, blah blah blah, I love it so much. And yeah, it's like everybody tries it. If they feel directly when they jump on it, if they can jump on it, and if they have the level to ride them, they feel it's very different. Yeah,
how is it different?
It's so much glidey, easy, and you have more speed than every other foils. It turns better for foils of this size, and it's the pleasure you have. I don't know, it's something really different. Like I never had so much pleasure. They're very, very close to perfect. Like the 1350, 1250, on 1160, not sure yet because the water is so cold, it's so hard to pump that foil. But when I tried it in the Crozon in the sea, it was so much more easier. But I'm so happy with these three new foils. Like it's the whole range for the lake. I don't need anything else except these foils now.
And why is that in your opinion?
I don't know. They find the magic solution between the camber, the cord, the size, everything. Like it's like a potion, you know, like if you put the good ingredients, the good amount of ingredients, it works, and sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's true. And that's cool. So now you're using mainly the 1350 and the 1250. And which one do you choose according to the conditions or what you choose to do?
So when it's flat or it's when I would do downwinding from 8 to 20 knots, it's the 1350. Yeah, from 15 to 25 knots, it's the 1250. And if it's the lower, if it's 20 knots slower to something else, I use the 1160 or the RTV2 1099. I had a very good run with the RTV2 1099. It turns a bit better than the fireball. But it's harder to pump, so I don't know which one I like more now because I couldn't test. We don't have a lot of big conditions like this times. So it's hard to test in big conditions. And definitely for flat water pumping, I'm not using the 1099 or the 1160 because it's too much consuming energy.
You just said that the first foil you bought was Axis. Why did he choose Axis and why did he stay with them?
So the according to Waketeeth, it said the connection and everything looks the best. And I watched the gliding test and everything. Yeah, so I wasn't not really sure like it was the best one, but I bought this one. After 1 year, something like that, I posted the video when I jumped from my skateboard to the foil. It's a very old video on Instagram. On Axis, took that video and posted it on their Instagram account. And they got 900,000 views. And I said, what we do? I sent them a message. What we do with that? And they told me, choose a setup and we send it to you. I said, what a surprise. Okay, that's cool. And this is how it started. And after I continued to posting video and they continue to like sending stuff, and now I'm a team rider.
That's very cool. Can you like give them wishes you have for foils or stabs? Or
I try, and sometimes they listen, sometimes not.
Can you tell us about that?
Like there is something will come. There is always something coming. Like it's always something testing new. And like I got some new prototypes, but I told them it's not working. Some other team rider said it works, but like yeah, like from my side, some now nothing is working as much as I want. And they don't seem to listen to me because I'm the minority guy, you know. So we'll see what happens. But sometimes we wish things, but yeah, like I'm so happy with the Fireball. Like I don't need something better because it's almost like perfect.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And what are you usually pairing the Fireballs with?
With the smaller skinny. And now everything changed because I had a lot of session stabless. And everything changed in my mind. Like before, I was thinking if the fuse is longer during the winter, you have more, it's less harder to pump and blah, blah, blah. But now everything changed since I pumped stabless. It's less energy consuming if the stab is shorter than if you have no stab. Like it's more room for error stabless, of course, but I can feel the glide is better, the speed is better, so everything is better. So the smallest fuse you can have with the smaller stab you can have, this is the best for pumping long time on flat water. It will not be cool to do that on downwinding, but for flat water pumping, if you want to pump a long time, the smallest you can have of everything except the wing, yeah, is the best.
Mm-hmm. That's what Nico Leighton said as well. He also trains for hours stabless. But then you put a credit card on. How did that idea start?
I wanted to have like a smaller skinny. And they didn't listen to me. So I had to find a solution. I said, okay, I will try with this credit card. And I tried the credit card and it works so well. Like, voila, this is it was my idea. So you can try with your foils. Huh? It's really working and it's really you really have something to learn from the credit card. And it's not that hard. It's super, super more easy than you think to ride with a credit card, actually. It's really cool.
And besides...
It will not be as efficient as a stab, but it's really... You have things to learn from that.
Does it hum? Does it vibrate?
No, you don't feel it vibrate.
Okay. And besides pumping stabless, what else would you suggest to people who wants to improve their efficiency on foil?
Just go on the water. The more you can. It's just that. And yeah, don't stay with your, like, change something. If you cannot like pump more than 2 minutes and you have your back leg tired or something like that, yeah, you have to try the credit card. You have to like get out of the comfort zone. If you stay in the comfort zone, you will never progress. That's the thing I know. Because like when I did the credit card video, I pumped stabless and I could pump only 10, 20 seconds. It was really horrible. And I made the credit card video. And after that, 1 week later, I just pumped again stabless. I don't know why, just to try. And I felt so much comfortable on it. I said, okay, something clicked in my brain. And this is how you progress. I think you just get out of the comfort zone and something will happen.
That makes a lot of sense. Getting out of the comfort zone is also the different start, at least for me. And then I watch a video of you jumping from, I don't know, it seemed like a 2-3 meter pole onto your board, like super high drop start.
Were you actually scared as well? No, I'm not scared. Like if I fall in the water, you just fall from higher. It's just that. Well, what
yes,
can happen?
Yes, but your skinny stab is like a dagger. It's really
yeah. But you cannot cut yourself except if you don't have enough deep water, Gael. If you have deep enough water, you cannot stab yourself because the foil will just go. Yeah, it's okay. Don't do that on like shallow water. It's just as simple as that. You cannot stab yourself if you have enough deep water.
All right.
I totally agree.
Can you, for that drop start, I mean, you must have had a few tries until it worked, right?
Yeah. It didn't work the first time because you have to like on every height change the pace of when you throw the board and you jump, like the timing is different because the board is not where you think it will be. So yeah, you have to make tries, but after, I don't know, sometimes it takes people 10 tries, sometimes it takes 50 tries.
Is it, but the higher you are,
it's definitely easier when you're higher. For sure.
Really? Why?
Yeah, the higher you are, but until, I will say, until 1.60 meters, like until 60 centimeters more than your mast, it's easier. After that, more than 60 centimeters higher than your mast, it gets harder.
Okay.
But still, okay. 60 centimeters higher than your mast is still super, super easy, and it becomes big, like easier and easier.
You made this because super tutorial with the little rope that you attach to your mast. Because I tried the drop start as well, and yeah, getting into the water and taking it out, that sucks. So, like that, taking it back up, it's a super good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to not be cold on wet when I did that tutorial. I see, I have to find a solution, and yeah, I tried that and it worked. Yeah.
And by the way, how many dry sessions you do? Like you get
actually,
home and you didn't
happened, even. It happened only one time, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. 3 hour session, not getting in the water one time. Because at some point, it's I always try tricks or stabless or things. So I fall in the water sometimes. But like it happened only one time in 3 years and a half. And it was 3 weeks ago or something like that. Yeah, I had a session with some friends on the... And I tried a lot of things. Like I tried stabless, credit card. And I didn't do that much tricks, but I didn't fall one time in the water. But it happened only
tricks.
One time.
What do you do?
I tried to do the ollie. But the ollie, actually, I think the axis swings are not good for ollie. This is one thing they are not good for.
That's okay.
Because they don't have the moustache shape, you know.
Ah,
and
so
this
attach.
Helps to get in the water without bubbles. And yeah.
Yeah, your slow-mo was so good to see the bubbles, how they stayed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were glued on foil. That was...
Yeah.
Really
the bubbles
nice.
Came because my wings are not really perfect, like there are scratches, so that's why there is bubbles actually. If the wing is perfectly new, there should not be that much bubbles.
I want to get a little tighter carves. How would you suggest I do that? Like, do I turn with my upper body or do I just bend the knees? How do I get carves?
So you have to generate. You have to generate a lot of speed. The most speed as you can. A long glide on your upper body will declanche. What you're saying. Exactly.
Detach. Yeah.
And after the upper part of the body will turn, and after everything will follow. And you have to just try to keep the pressure as much as you can, like equally, to not fall.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, it just slip out.
Yeah. Yeah. Zip out.
And exactly. Since we're talking about tips, these people, like we see people that are stuck and we're stuck at like 30 seconds, 60 seconds. What is the most common mistake in your opinion, besides maybe not spending enough time in the water?
It's pushing too much on the board. Like when the people pump, they push too much on the board, sink too much at each pump. That's why they cannot get high on the mast because they push too much. And also the rhythm is too fast. It's the two common mistakes I see, too fast and pushing too much. It's really like, I think it's a sport, actually, foiling is a sport made for girls because it's really like a dance. No, really, like girls are really good at that. Girls are really good at dancing, you know, because you have to be really precise. It's not like you don't have to put force. You have to be delicate and feel things, know where and how is your body in the space. And actually, I know a lot of girls, like they're starting. There is one girl here, like she started 3 months ago and she pumps stabless. She pumps only 20 times but she pumps stabless because she feels more things. And it's easier for her because she bought a very big stab at the beginning. And I told her, it's too big. Like, you cannot pump that. I can see you. Like, it's not working. And I put her the skinny 30 and after the skinny 25 and after the credit card. And after she asked me, can I remove the credit card? But of course you can remove the credit card. And she pumped stabless with the PNG 1300 and she's 50 kilo and she was pumping 20 times better than with the big stab. Because it's she feels more things. And yeah, I think girls would be very good if there is more girls in this sport because it's really made, it's about feelings. It's not about force or like we usually do with the men, like the bulls.
But funny enough, most of people who pump are men or boys.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. It sucks because it's really a sport made. It's one of these sports, like female can be better than men for sure. I'm sure of that. Like we can see Sarah in Zurich, she pumps longer than me and she's very good, I think. Yeah.
I want to get more tips as well, if you don't mind, Ivo, because you're kind of like the godfather of wake thieving, or at least the big boats. And I'm trying to get into that for half a year, maybe. But one of the problems is that I can only get like two boats a session. Now just one. And I'm not sure where to go. First, I went for the waves that came from the front of the boat, but then didn't feel right. Finding that correct wave and then not losing too much height and not getting stuck behind a wave, for me that's super difficult. Do you have any tips for me?
Yeah, like for me, like it was the same. Like I had two or three boats per day, so it took me 250 boats, so almost 2 years to really understand how to take boat waves. And the first thing is the boat is always different because sometimes the boat is empty, sometimes the pilot doesn't accelerate as much as these do at the same time. So yeah, but the best thing to do is to follow a wave, because if you follow a wave, it means you're on a wave. If you have no waves in the front of you, you're not on a, you maybe not on a wave and you're not on the good wave for sure. If there is nothing in front of you, so you should always have a wave. And yeah,
you kind of pass the first one and then follow that.
Yeah, at least pass one, I would say two or three waves, because after you can come back on the waves. There's waves in front of you, because if you turn before, you don't see where the wave behind you. You cannot slow down.
Yeah,
down, you fall.
Yeah.
So pass one, two, three waves on turn, there will be always a wave in the front of you. Always. Even if it's even if you're slower, you go more on the right and you will catch a wave again.
Okay. Because I was always going for the first one and then not sure. Am I on it? No, yes, maybe.
Yeah, no, no. You're not. Okay. You're not. I can tell you, if there's no wave in the front of you, you're not.
That is great advice. Wow, okay.
And then, of course, I guess you need to stay as high as possible on the mast, right? So to be efficient, to really be in the sweet spot.
It's not as high. It depends of the wing you have. If it's a very slow wing, you have to be high because you want to accelerate. But if you're too high, yeah, of course, you will go out of the water. So it really depends on your wing, if you have a big wing or a fast wing. If you can stay at the middle of the mast, it's the safest place to stay because sometimes the waves also evolve because it's a boat, you know, and usually you take the boat at the beginning of the start and it accelerates and the waves get bigger and stronger. So at the beginning, when you're on the wave, you will see, Matt, you will get pushed out because you think the wave will stay like that, but it doesn't stay, like it gets stronger and it will push you on. Yeah.
So should I go with my 85 centimeter mast
at the beginning
first?
You should be high, and when the boat accelerates, you should be lower.
Should I take my 85 centimeter mast to just have a little more time?
The longer the mast, if you can pump it, the better.
All right, good.
Yeah.
And how is pumping real waves different? Because I went for a session today, and we had a pretty powerful like waves, mass waves, because it was super, super windy. Mm-hmm. And my problem, I think, is that you know, I get speed and then I don't really know what to do with that speed. I mean, you need to be able to understand where you are on the wave so that you can carve on it without going too fast or too slow, because otherwise you lose it. So what's your exactly. tip on that?
So it's really about feeling on the, like usually in our lakes when we have waves, it's not so, it doesn't stay more than 3 seconds. You have a wave, the wave is there 3 seconds, and after she disappears. Like it's always like that. So you always have to find the next one. So when you get pushed, you have to look directly. I say, okay, I will get pushed for 2-3 seconds. Where is the next one? And you have to follow. Like actually, you have to follow a wave in the front of you, like, because you want to be in the downhill waves. So it's a bit hard to explain, but you have to follow a creux.
A hole.
You have always to follow a hole on the valley. Yeah, exactly. And stay on your foil. Sometimes you have to accelerate, but you should not accelerate too much. So sometimes you have to be like breaking a little bit with your foil on the. It's like to stay like on the wave, on that, because if you go at the bottom, you have to like slow down to get back on the wave, and it's impossible, because if you slow down, you just fall.
Yeah, that's very
so,
interesting.
So yeah, it's a lot of practice. Like took me, I don't know, I would say 50, 70 sessions with waves to understand really how to read it good. And even now, like sometimes, I don't read it good. Sometimes I do 2 or 3 mistakes, and like in a row. If you do 1 mistake, okay. 2 mistakes, okay. 3 mistakes, you like my heart goes too high, and I fall.
Yeah. And you said that you need to try and pitch, like tilt the board a bit up to kind of slow down, to be less efficient, to stay with the wave. And how do you prevent from breaching? Or how do you prevent from breaching where you reach too much speed?
That's you cannot prevent it if you're too fast. And yeah, but with the fireball, it's much easier, I would say,
because
the fireball are so good, because before the Art Pro, well, they were accelerating, but so much, and they don't break. They don't have a maximum speed, I would say. Like they can accelerate, like at the moment you will fall. On the fireball, they have this so much camber that cannot go too fast. They go fast, but you cannot go too fast to get out of control. Like I was really amazed, like how control I can get with that wings. Like I went in similar conditions, with the Art Pro, with the fireballs, and I didn't fail with the fireball because I was always in control.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like this camber, like the planes when they are landing, they have this camber behind the, like, sorry, below the wind to kind of slow down and make sense. That's it cuts a bit the high end, but in some cases can be useful.
Yeah, but I can tell you, like, I went faster with the fireball, like without falling, so than on the Art Pro. I never been that fast with the Art Pro. I was maybe faster with the Art Pro, but I fell just right away. But I was faster with the, like, my speeds on the GPS are faster with the fireball.
We had some private lessons now. If you have any more questions for him concerning our own pumping, maybe we can ask that afterwards. I want to get into his YouTube, his creator topic. Do you have any more questions, private questions?
Okay, I will keep them for myself. I will text
him. No, it's fine.
I'm joking. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm curious about that as well.
Yes.
Because, Yvon, you have so many great videos. Which one is your favorite?
I think it's the last one with the bubbles and everything. I think that's one I liked it a lot. And it's very strange. Like, when I post it, it went really, like, in 24 hours, 3,000 views. Usually, I have, 800, 1,000. And when it reached 4,000, it stops completely. And now I have maybe 50 views a day. I don't know why that happened. Because I think it was a very cool video.
Wait, sometimes it just picks up for no reason after a couple of weeks.
So, but I think that one is my, that one on also like the when I followed the boat from Nyon to Copé, the video like had 400,000
views. 12 minutes or something like that?
It was 25 minutes.
25 minutes.
And it was, 25 minutes. And it was so cool. That experience was so cool because it was on the Art V2 999. I never rode that wing before. And I said, okay, let's try this. I had a guy who could film me from the boat. And I said, okay, we try it. I tried two or three starts. I said, okay, I will try this one. And it went so well. Like the weather was perfect, the wave was perfect. It was the right boat. That boat is the Lausanne, and that boat is never coming at that place usually. It just was there for 2 weeks, and that it makes the biggest waves you can have on the Léman. So yeah, everything like the planet were aligned. You know,
it needs to be perfect. One of my favorite videos of you is the one when you went around Lac d'Annecy.
Thank you. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, that one was cool. So yeah,
I mean, for that you had to do some planning, right?
We planned just to start early.
Main plan. That's the plan,
because we didn't know how long it will take. But we were sure we could arrive to Annecy. Like because we start at the bottom, we were sure we could do the half of the lake for sure. And when you get there, you're in the city, so you can call for a friend to bring you back down or something else. So yeah, it was the main plan, just start early and see what happened. But the plan was bad because we started in the bad spot, I think, because we had headwind all the time. The wind turns like all the time, not in our directions.
It makes everything so much more difficult.
Yeah.
A certain time when you thought, we're not going to make it, that's too exhausting.
Yeah, when we arrived to Annecy, the wind didn't turn. So we decided to take the boat wave to make half of the way, and it went very well. And after, finally, for the last section, the wind turned in our direction, but just for, I don't know, 5 kilometers on the 36 kilometers.
How long were the distances to the stops? How many minutes? Yeah, the legs.
We went from 3 to 12 minutes max. Yeah.
All right. And there was one depends part. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so yeah, the weight depends from how tired we were, I was or he was, to we decided, okay, we stop, now we continue. So yeah.
There was one part, I think, where you passed some rocks where you really couldn't drop. Were you nervous in that area?
I was nervous at the beginning. When I reached the middle, I said, okay, it's okay, it's easy here finally. So I was not scared anymore. So, but at the beginning, you're nervous because, it's really impossible to duck start because it's too shallow. And there is no rocks and it's too shallow. So you have to swim for 1.5 kilometers. If you fell in the middle, you have to swim for 1.5 kilometers. And at that point, I didn't have the engine. So it's 1.5 kilometers. It's around, I would say, 1 hour 20 of swimming.
Wow, it's very long. That's really long. When you get nervous or anxious, maybe also when you downwind on waves, do you pump differently? Does that affect your pumping?
I think yes, but now I'm not nervous anymore. I was very nervous at the beginning. No, but I was nervous at the beginning, but I just realized it's useless because if I fall, I will swim anyway. So why I should not be 200% happy and enjoy everything before I fall? Because it's the same, you know? And if you're more happy, you're less stressed. So now I just I can make my mindset to be just happy. And if I fall, I just swim. It's shit happens.
What's the longest swim you had to go?
1 hour, 10 minutes, 1 kilometer something in very big waves. I didn't have the engine at that time. Yeah, that's long. In 8 degree or 10 degree water with a 5-hour suit.
But you're never cold, are you? Or did you start to get cold
when I swam that, I was cold, but I knew that I had friends and they were looking to my position and everything. So yeah, I was a bit cold at the end. Usually when you fall, it's because you make mistakes, so you're very hot. So the first half, 30 minutes, you're hot. And after, you're starting to get a bit cold. But the first 30 minutes, you're hot. No problem. Mm-hmm. It's because you make a lot of mistakes.
And then there is that video that you posted a couple of weeks ago where you show your backstory. And I was impressed. Like, I knew that you were into skateboarding, but the things you did were absolutely insane. Like, crazy stuff. Were you never, like, scared? Because, like, the things that you did, like, that is behind the corner.
I was scared sometimes, but I never scared before I start downhill. But if, like, on some action, yeah, sometimes you're scared, of course. But I was never scared of dying or having a bad accident or something like... No, I was just happy to do that.
Everything. You ever injured yourself?
Yeah. I broke my clavicle two times, this one, I don't remember, one time the other one. One foot when kitesurfing. I broke, I think that... And I broke my hip or my femur, but it was not me. Somebody straight luging and he like crashed on me.
All right. When you posted that video in one of the groups, you said, I'm not sure if anyone's interested. I was super interested. I thought it was super cool that you shared that past activity that you had. How were the other reaction or the reaction from other people?
Yeah, it was a lot of good reaction from everybody. Yeah. But all that sport, I can tell you, didn't help for the pump foiling. I can tell you.
Really?
there's nothing like... I think surfing will help for pump foiling, but except that, even kite foiling is so different because you have you're always like pulled by something. I really struggled at the beginning with pump foiling. Yeah,
but I think that those sports you were doing really helped with focus, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. Like it needed a lot of quick adaptation. Maybe it's now. Like, I know I can adapt and I can get out of the comfort zone and I will learn something all the time. Yeah.
Another great video I thought was the one, I'm not sure how it's pronounced in Spain, where you went to do the wave. Is it Zarauz? Sarho?
Yeah, you're not supposed to pronounce the T, so it's Zarauz.
Zarauz, okay.
Zarauz, yeah.
The bref part, the start was super cool. Then, getting into these waves, and they look quite scary, I think. And there again, you're there with daggers. Never scared, never anything happened.
I was in the pump foil, and one guy told me there is wave, there is no wave. So I was able to go out when it was very big waves. And when it's not big waves, no, I'm not scared at all. It's because there is no rocks, there is just the big beach. So you can... You can get out pretty easily. And when it's very big waves, like I checked a lot before with the surfers, like how they're doing because there is currents. And I knew, now I know the process to go back in the beach if I get pushed out by the currents. So it's pretty easy to go out. It's just, you should not just panicate. Don't panic and just go. Follow the current and go back.
Your first pump foil video is like 2 years ago. You have 80 videos on your YouTube. There's so many tutorials. Do you earn any money? I saw that you have a buy me a coffee where people can buy you coffee. Today.
Yeah, like the coffee I got since I put in the coffee, I think I got, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 coffee, not a lot. YouTube, I earn money around 80 Swiss francs per month, between 50 and 80, depends. Yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot of money, but still helps to buy a new GoPro when I lost one.
Sure. And you don't have to pay for gear, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool to not pay the gear for Maxis, yeah.
Do you cooperate with any other brands, like this motor thing you have using in France? Do you have to buy that to get that earphones while
foil? You have other corporations?
No, I bought that. I bought the engine. I'm sponsored by TechnoSurf in Geneva. It's a surf shop. So when I need something, they give it to me. And I'm sponsored also by Bucher Evald in Neuchâtel. And have the two suits from O'Neill. So very, so it's really nice. Like I'm pretty packed. So it's cool to not spend money on that because the GoPro cost. And I broke, and my new GoPro again, I lost it. She fell on the ground, and I broke the screen. I have to buy a new one.
No.
Again. So, shit happens all the time. It's a never-ending story.
If people want to meet you, if people want to pump where you pump, can you share where you usually pump, or is that always a bit of a surprise if you show up?
Usually I pump at Versoix, so usually you can write to me, and if like you are around, you tell me, and I tell you when I go, and you can join me. There is no problem. If it's a windy day and I will go to some downwind, and if you don't do downwind, I will not stay with you. Just that. But if it's a flat day, yeah, I will come on flat pumping with anybody. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to meet people.
You really,
I like it.
Give inspiration. I tried the paddle thing. I'm struggling. So I'm really thinking about doing downwinders with the pump foil as well, but I'm not sure. I mean, when you started,
the
you
learning
had
process
this...
is so easier. Like just downwind, like 300 meters, 500 and more and more and more. And it's so much easier than paddling on your waves. And when you finish paddling, you're out of breath and you check for the wave. You don't find the wave and you have to paddle again. What the fuck?
And then you have a huge board.
And it's not the same. It's not like with my small board, I have 200% of pleasure and after I fall, but it's 200% of pleasure. It's not 50% of pleasure with a big board and everything. But I think it's...
You had this construction where you were able to change your pump foil into a trottinet, into a scooter. Where do you got that idea? Are you still using that?
I'm not using it anymore, but I should, because sometimes I really fall between two train stations and it's really long to walk. And the idea came because I was learning downwinding, but on a very small spot, like 800 meters or 1 kilometer. And it's very long to walk 1 kilometer. It's almost 15 minutes. With a skate, it's 3 minutes and you're back. So that's why I came with this idea.
You were carrying your skateboard when you were
downwinding. It's not a skateboard. It's it's a front truck, back truck with two pieces of wood. Very small. And I had some scratch on the board, and I just scratched the wheels on the board, and I use it like a trottinette, like a scooter.
It looks super cool. It looks amazing.
Like you use it like the foil board upside down, and use the foil as a handle.
Yeah. And I just come back.
That's why I remember that there were like straps, like not straps, but on your pad. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Sure. Exactly, yeah.
That is so nice. Well, God, I'm actually pretty much through with my questions. Do you have anything else to ask Yvon?
No, I think we really squeezed it enough. We squeezed Yvon, him it, enough.
Yeah, Yvon, is there anything you want to share? Maybe what's next with you? What are your next projects going to be?
Oh, I will go to Zarauz again around, I will tell you, between the 10 and 16 April, and I will go to the pump foil race in Locat, the 18 April, April 18.
18th of April. I was thinking about going there as well, but not sure if I can.
Is it there in Switzerland?
It's in Locat, it's in France, 6 hours from Geneva.
I'm at Lake Garda, also not bad, but
yeah. And it's in April, is it?
Yeah, and there's a prize money. It's the first time, like it's 5,000 euros, something like that. I don't know.
It's from the SFT, right?
Yeah,
it's Tom Hartmann. He was on our podcast as well. last episode. Mm-hmm. So go check that out if you haven't listened
to it. This is how I learned about the race, actually.
Ah, look at that. Very cool. Very cool. So we have a listener. Awesome. Then all that's left for me is to tell you who's the next guest going to be. And that's going to be Ben Beholz. He's a vlogger. Oh. He's a kite surfer, but also foils. And one of his crazy videos was when he jumped from, I don't know, what was that, 2.5 meters or even 3 meters drop.
I measured it, actually. I think it's 2.20 meters, but I'm not sure about his height because I measured on YouTube to be sure.
It looks pretty high as well. Yeah. But yeah, it looked crazy. He has so many stories to tell.
So my next project is to beat that.
All right. Looking forward to that. Maybe I can, in Lookout, have a height contest, and they have like the springboards, the 1, 3, 5 meter, and see what happens.
Yeah. We will break a lot of bond, I think.
Thank you very much, Ivan, for coming on the show. It's such a pleasure. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you again and pumping with you. That will be great.
And thank you to your listeners for staying with us. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.